I'm unemployed, but I live with my parents.
Well, morning. How are you guys doing? I'm way loud. Okay, I'm going to light a candle here because I like to play with fire. Is that cool with you guys? I think it's something in guys. It's not too hot. I think it's something in guys. We just like to play with fire. Anybody feel me on that? Yeah, some girls too, not to leave you guys out. And that's the new thing at our house. We decided about a week ago to dig a fire pit, and we think that's pretty cool in our backyard. Don't really know if it's legal or not, but we did, and we put stones around. It's like we're camping every night, only we have music. And so we blast the Led Zeppelin or Pink Floyd or whatever we're into that night, you know. Last night it was like 90s rock, Nirvana, stuff like that. And we just sit back and drink coffee around the campfire, and we just pretend we're not there. So that's kind of our thing at our house. I live with David, who's in the back. David, raise your, everybody look at David. There he is. And Eric. Eric's at the computer. And Eric does a great job. Thank you, Eric, at the computer. I live with them. It's a lot of fun, and we play with fire. And that's not what I'm talking to you about today. But the candle does have a purpose, and we're going to get to that in a minute. But until then, just kind of enjoy it. I kind of dig the candle. We are in this series called Encrypted Culture. And this may be your first time here. I don't know. But last several weeks, we've been trekking through this idea of encrypted culture, and here's the deal, it's revealing God in media. And so we've been looking at different forms of media and songs and movies and things like that, and we've just been saying, what's going on in here, you know, like spiritually? Is this person seeking God, or is there a message in here that this person's trying to get across, or maybe God's speaking something in this person's heart, and we're just kind of trying to peel away the edges and go, what's going on in this song or this movie or whatever we're studying? And today we're looking at the internet, which is quite a challenge in and of itself. But encrypted culture, revealing God in media, Chris brought it to us first week, and he said this, and this is I really want you to hit and remember this, that this is the point of all this, is that we as 24 Church desire to be a group of people who are immersed in the culture, but who have not become products of the culture. We desire to be people that are immersed in the culture, but who have not become products of the culture. What does that mean? It means that we do not want to be a group of people that have succumbed to the Christian bubble and have failed to look out and see what's going on with people around us. Lots of us have been guilty, and a lot of Christianity, I'm afraid, is guilty of doing the whole Christian bubble thing. Well, what is that? The Christian bubble is when you are so scared of basically committing a moral sin, and that's important for us to be separate from the world, but that we become so afraid of committing a moral sin, like listening to the wrong thing or seeing the wrong movie or something of that sort, that we kind of pull away and we kind of form our own little subculture and we kind of get over here away from everything and go, I can't be near the sin or I'm going to sin, and I'm so scared of doing that I'm going to pull away over here. It's kind of like the whole monk monastery thing. Not to bash on that, but like, we're never called to like go live in the desert by ourselves and just chill there, us and God. It's all right to go like meditate for a time with God and go, hey, I'm going to seek you for a while because you're pretty awesome. But it's not cool to just stay there and just forget about everybody else and go, I'm not really worried about them. Because we were always set on a mission. It says in 2 Corinthians 5, it's so awesome. It says that we are Christ's ambassadors. And that he, when he saved us, he didn't just leave us to do our own thing, but he made us his ambassadors, and he set us on a mission. And so we desire to be in the culture, and we're actually sent out, as John was saying a few weeks ago, to help decrypt the culture, to help show people where God is at and what he's doing, and to say, you know what, this is what's going on in your life, and this is what God's trying to get across to you. And so we have been people set on a mission. And so in the midst of this series, we've just been trying to kind of pull back those layers and say, you know what? We want to be out in the culture. We want to be around people the same way Jesus was. He was accused of hanging out with tax collectors and sinners and drunkards, and they were like, dude, you're a sinful man. He's like, no, I've been sent to heal sick people. And the religious people are the ones that are telling this. They're like, you shouldn't hang around those people. And he's like, that's who I was sent for, was the sick people. But really, Jesus was being sarcastic and going, you know what? You're sick too, you just don't realize it. And so you're not going to get healed. And so Jesus was sent out to rescue us. And when he rescues us, he sets us on a mission. And David talked in the second week to us, and he talked about the best way to do that. And the best way for us to fulfill the mission is for us to go out and actually share our faith and interact with people. The best way is not to give out a tract and go, here you go, here's some good message, here's some good news, see you later, take that, bada bing. I'm not really going to interact with you, just here's some literature. I was working at Starbucks this week, that's where I work, and a guy came in, and I'm sure he was well-meaning, and he ordered from me, he knows nothing about me. You know, here I'm, you know, at Starbucks, take his order, cool, I'll get his order for him, give it to him, and he hands me three just of the crummiest looking tracks I've ever seen. These just like little, like, I could have drawn it better, and just throws them to me as he's leaving. He goes, here are some good comic books for you to read, you're really going to enjoy them, you know, and I'm like, thanks. You know, I wanted to go, you know, I know Christ, I've been going to church since I was a baby, and when I was seven, I asked him into my heart, and my life's never been the same, but if I hadn't known Christ, I might have been even more offended, like, what is this cheap crap you're giving to me? And I just threw it away as soon as he walked off. And that is, guys, that's not the best way for us to reach people. It might be all right to leave one of those with somebody, especially if it's a good-looking one, after you've shared Christ with them and go, you know, this just kind of re-explains what I was talking about. And you might just, this might be the easiest way for you to look at that. But the best way is not for us just to throw stuff out. You know, that's just littering most of the time. And so we desire to be people within the culture who are interacting with people. And the best advertisement that we have is just our lives as we interact with people and talk to them about what is really mattering to us. And then last week, John, as I was saying, he came in and he talked about how we're actually decrypting the culture around us. We're actually helping to point people to answers. And he said this statement, this is so true, and you remember this in Genesis. God said, as he was creating people, he created the animals and the earth, and it was all just awesome. Angels are sitting back going, whoa, this is cool. It says in Psalms or Isaiah, it says the sons of God shouted for joy, and that's most likely the angels, and they're just sitting back going, whoa, God, you are amazing. And then God's like, hold up. And he takes some dirt, and he forms man. And he says to the Trinity, because they're all there, you know, and that's why you got the us there in Genesis. And so God, I guess the Father or Jesus, we don't know which part, goes, let us create man in our image. And it says, from the dust of the ground he created them. So God, and we don't, he may have just been chilling there for a while, or he could have just done it with a snap of the finger, but maybe he's playing in the mud and kind of digging that. And he forms a guy named Adam, and then he breathes the spirit of life into Adam. And he says, you've been created in my image. I call you Adam. And then later on, you know, Eve comes along because men and women need each other. We're formed to be in relationships with each other. And the human race begins. And so every single person, whether they know Christ or not, has been created in his image. And that's an amazing thing. But it was not that long after all that began that Adam messed up. And God had told him, you don't need to commit this sin. You don't need to eat from this tree. You can do anything else, just don't eat from the tree. And Adam and Eve chose to instead sin and eat from the tree. And so all of a sudden, sin is introduced into the human race. And Romans explains that sin spread to every single person. So that every single person that's born is born with a propensity to sin. We're born with our hearts messed up. And I know you've probably heard this before, but you do not have to teach a little child to sin. It's just like, suddenly it just comes about and they're like, ah, and they're just bad. And you're like, what's going on with that? How did he get to be that way? Because we're born with our hearts messed up, and until Jesus comes in and changes us, we're jacked up. And so the image of God somewhere along the way got marred. It got messed up. And that's why we're on a mission. We're on a mission to go help people get their image unmarred. Because when you accept Christ into your heart, that's what happens. And Jesus Christ changes you within, and then it begins to come out in your life. Begins to come out in your life, and things just are suddenly way different. And so we are called, and I want to read this verse again. Go with me to 2 Corinthians 5, if you're turning there. And I want you to hear this. 2 Corinthians 5, 18 through 20. Listen to the mission we've been given. It says, now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So reconciliation, big word, that means we've been made right with God. And God now has given us the job of helping other people to be right with him. Namely, the of reconciliation. Now listen to this verse again. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. That's our mission. That's what we've been called to do, that we're sent out as ambassadors for God. Now, you think about an ambassador. An ambassador, let's just say there was an ambassador for the United States to China. So American guy's chilling over there in China. He's hanging out. He's having fun. He's probably eating some fried rice. That's what I'd be doing because I love some fried rice. And he's chilling over there. But when it comes down to like his job is to what is done in your life. You've been now set right. You're in right relationship with me again. And I'm sending you out. And your job is to help other people discover the joy of what it means to have the image unmarred. To discover the joy of what it means to follow me with all their hearts. And that's what we've been called to do. We're ambassadors. Now, what does all this have to do with encrypted culture? Or more importantly, what does all this have to do with the internet? Because that's what I'm supposed to talk about today, is God and the internet. I mean, and I, you know, when I was given that task of, okay, God and the internet, we're going to reveal God and the internet, I was not really sure where to go with that. I was like, You know, we could, and this is not what I'm going to do, by the way, but we could put up a list of bad sites, like, don't go to these. And we could put up a list of good sites, like, these are good sites. This is, like, stuff you should go to. This is good stuff. And we could kind of divide up the internet and say, oh, this is good, this is bad, this is kind of neutral, we're not really sure where it falls, not really good or bad. And we could just divide up the whole thing that way. But that's not really where we're going, because there is good and bad there. Rather, I want to talk to you about the potential that's in the internet and the potential that the internet represents for us in general. And I'm going to explain that more in a second. There was a guy I was reading. I love to go to this site called Digg, D-I-G-G.com. And what it is it's this internet site, and it's mainly technology news. And I'm becoming more and more, as I live, a geek. And what I mean by that is not like I'm dumb or anything, but like I'm just into technology and I can't help it. And if you get me and Jason, where you at? Out there. Yeah, if you get me and Jason, he's self-proclaimed geek too. It's not a bash on him. But you get us together, like maybe today, later on, we'll be eating Mexican, I don't know. And we might start to talk about like the new processor that's coming out or whatever else, like the new Intel quad core, whatever, and everybody else at the table's like, you guys, please, you know, and they just start their own conversation, because me and Jason are there, and we're just, you know, and we get into it, and so that's what this site's about. And what it is anybody can submit a story to this site, dig.com, and basically, if your story's good enough, it'll get dug, you know, getting so many amounts of digs or votes, basically, and it'll make it to the front page. So what you have is this internet site based on solely on user-submitted content. And if you submit a cool story and everybody thinks it's cool, they dig it, and then it ends up on the front page. And so you can go there. You got to check it out sometime, digg.com. And, like, you can go, oh, wow, there's some new Apple rumor about the new thing they're releasing. And you can check it out. And I do that all the time. Well, I remember about a year ago, I'm on that site, and I hear this story or read this story about this guy. There's this German guy, and he went on vacation. And somewhere, I don't know if he had his camera with him and it got stolen, or he left his camera at home and his house got broken into, but he had a really nice camera and it got stolen from him. And so he gets home and he realizes, oh wow, I'm without my camera, this stinks. And he decides, you know, I don't really have the money to fork over for a brand new camera, I think I'll go on eBay and I'll try to find one similar or the same one or whatever. So he gets on eBay and sure enough, he finds like nice camera, it's exactly like the one he had. He wins the auction, you know, I'm sure he watches it for a few days, wins the auction, says, wow, you know, here's the camera. And it just so happens the camera is from a local guy in his town. Amazing. He didn't have to pay the shipping. So he's just like, I won the auction. I'm going to go pay this guy the cash in hand, get my camera back. Well, he shows up at the store and he begins looking at the camera that he's about to buy. And he notices, oh, wow, that's a familiar marking right there. And I think I remember this scratch. And he realizes, this is my camera. This is the actual one that was stolen from me. Not one just like it, but this is it, you know. And so he tells the guy, he says, this is actually my camera. It was stolen from me. And I don't know exactly how this transpired, but I guess the shopkeeper was like, well, you can't prove that, so you still got to buy it. So he actually rebuys his own stolen camera. Somehow, this ends up on the internet, and I don't know if he just blogged about it, and then from there ends up on Digg, and everybody starts digging it, and they just think it's a hilarious story. And this is where I'm going with this. The users at Digg, or the people that are at the internet site, got so fired up about the fact that this shopkeeper should have just let him have the camera for free, and I really don't know who's fault it was, that they just start attacking this dude. Okay, so they just start attacking the shopkeeper. And I think actually for a while his internet site, like he had his own little internet site advertising and stuff, I think it actually got shut down because they were so many people were going to that site and just waiting it down, like the bandwidth tapped out, and everybody's like, whoa, shop didn't work. They're sending him emails. They're like, dude, you need to give this guy his camera. And they just bombard the guy. And there's stories like that all the time in the internet because the internet ability and there's mass potential to use it to get some sort of message across, to use it to get some sort of voice across. And really, the internet has like a billion different voices. Have you ever noticed that? You can find literally anything on the internet that you want. There are a billion different people saying a billion world, and everybody's just saying something, and there's all these voices, and it's just bombardedness. You know, if you get on, you can just hear anything. I was reading a book a while back studying about witchcraft. Not that that's a cool thing, but I was studying it up to teach about why it's not good, and the guy in there was saying that witchcraft basically kind of in America kind of came back in the 40s, and then it got bigger during the 60s, you know, and so there are more witches around, and you may know some of those, I don't know, but the witch is going on, and then but it really didn't have a foothold until the internet came around. And around 1996, all of a sudden the internet gets popular, and all these witches have an ability to connect with one another, and all of a sudden this voice and this propaganda for witchcraft starts getting pushed, and it just gains momentum, and it becomes more embedded in our culture because the internet's a place of possibility. It's a place where people have a voice. It's a place where people can say anything they want, and all of a sudden, you just have this going on. You know, you have voices everywhere on the internet. And it reminds me just a tad of this, and this is where we're headed. Turn with me to Judges 21:25, or check it out on the screen. And this is talking about Israel in the Old Testament, the people of God. And it says this, it says, in those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. And so you've got, if you know anything about the book of Judges in the Old Testament, it's this book that spans hundreds of years. And it's all about how the people of God, Israel at that time, they'll do good with God for a while, and then they'll screw up. And they'll just stay screwed up for a while. And then God will bring somebody in, a judge, to come and rescue them, to free them from their enemies, to help them to turn back towards God. And they'll do good for a while. And then they'll screw up. And then God will raise up another judge to come in and rescue Israel. And this pattern goes over and over and over again. And then the book ends with this verse that we just read. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Truth be told, there really was God. And that's why God didn't want them to have a normal king. He says, I'm the king. You're to follow me. Everything's to be about me. I've actually put you on a mission, Israel, and you're supposed to help the whole world know about my glory, the same mission that we're on. But they forgot. They forgot that God was the king, and everyone just started doing right in his own eyes. And I think the internet is a picture of that in our world, in our culture, that basically anybody can have a voice. Anybody can say whatever they want, and basically people are doing whatever they want to do. You can do this if you want to. 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 And there's just clamoring of millions and millions and billions of voices, and everybody's just saying their own thing. And we have forgotten as a culture and as a people and as America and as the church that there really is a king, and it's God, and he really will judge one day. And we do not have the right as people to just do our own thing and to just be on our own mission and just to say whatever we want. We have the freedom on the internet and in culture and in general and everywhere else. We have the freedom to say whatever we want, but the truth is there's a judgment coming. And it's kind of like that story in the Bible where Jesus says he's got three stewards. A guy's got three stewards or three servants, and he gives them all some stuff. He gives them some talents, which was money. And he says, you take 10, and you take 5, and you take 1. And then he goes away, and he says, I want you to do something with that while I'm gone. And he goes away on a long trip, and then the man comes back, and he settles accounts. And he goes, what did you do with the money I gave you? Did you do anything profitable with it, or did you just sit around? And two of the servants said, yeah. Took the money you give it, and I doubled it. But the last servant, the one that was only given one, said, no, I knew you were a hard man. I knew you were going to judge me, so I hid it away because I was afraid of losing it. And God says, you wicked, evil slave, why did you not use that for some good. And it's a picture of what God has given to us. And he's given us all a voice. He's given us all different talents. He's given us all different abilities and passions. And the truth is that one day he's coming back. And he doesn't want us just to be like the people in Judges saying whatever we want. He wants us to be using our realm of influence for the kingdom because we've been sent out as ambassadors. We're not ambassadors to the U.S. We're not ambassadors really necessarily to 24 Church. If you go here, we're ambassadors for the kingdom of God. And we've been sent out with the mission of helping take that message to everybody. Not in corny, irrelevant ways, but in legitimate, Christ-honoring, this is who we are, this is how Christ has changed our life ways. Helping people to see what it means to be a Christian. We've got this great ability. And today, I basically just want to offer an invitation. And I don't mean a walk down the aisle thing, not that type of invitation, but here's the invitation. The invitation is for us to examine ourselves and to reevaluate, are we on the mission of God? Are we on the mission as ambassadors? Are we remembering that we've been called to reach people? We've been called to go out and love people. We've been called to be set on the mandate of the King, because there really is a King, and his name is Jesus Christ, and he's going to settle accounts with us one day. So you might just want to mull that over in your head. Am I really on the mission? Am I really doing that? Or have somewhere along the way, have I kind of lost my way? Have I begun to do my own thing and live for my own glory? And have I forgotten? Maybe I'm in the Christian bubble and it wasn't even intentional. I think I'm living for God, and God's saying, no, I want you to reevaluate. What are you doing to go out and take my name to the culture? What are you helping to do to decrypt the culture and to put godly influence within the culture and to help people see that they need me? Now, what I'm talking about is not necessarily a political thing. Hear me say that. I think we focus too much as Christians on political activism sometimes. God has called us to go help people's lives to be changed. You know what the truth is that if people are changed within their hearts, they'll vote the right way. There won't be junk all in our culture. We'll just get it. So let's quit focusing on political stuff and all that as much. I'm not saying that's not important, but let's put the main focus on people's lives, because if their hearts are changed, it's all going to be all right. And God's saying, I'm sending you out in the midst of culture, and this is what I want you to remember. I want you to be shrewd as serpents, but innocent as doves. In other words, know what's going on. That's why we're doing this whole series, because we want to be people that know what is going on within culture, but that we're immersed in it, but we're not becoming products of the culture. We're still innocent as doves. We're not involved in the sin. We're taking Jesus' name to the people that are messed up, that have the image marred. With the voice that we have, we want to do that. We want to take his name to the culture. And so we have an invitation to join God on this mission. And this mission is all founded in this idea, and it's in Isaiah 43, 6 and 7. Let's read that together. It says this. And this is God speaking about his people, and one day they're all going to come into the real kingdom. And he says this, he's talking about it's going to happen. He says, I will say to the north, give them, bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name and whom I have created for my glory, whom I have formed, even whom I have made. You catch that? That we have been created for God's glory. We've been called by his name. If we really get that in our bones, it will change everything about how we use our influence, about how we take the realm of influence that we've been given to people at work and to people at school and to people we hang with and to the place where we go drink coffee. And we'll say, you know, I want to use this realm of influence for God because I've been created for his glory and I'm an ambassador for him and I've been set on an awesome mission, and that's what I want to use my life. That's what I want my life to be about, because I've been created for him. And I just want you guys to know that as 24 Church, it is our prayer as a staff that we would get that, that as the staff we would get that, and as the people that go to this church that we would get that, that we exist for God's glory and for no other purpose, and that we are ambassadors for him. And so let's go out in the midst of culture, let's go out in the midst of jacked up stuff, and let's help people to see that they can be made right, that they can be put in right relationship with God, that the image can become unmarred, and that they can live for something that truly matters. A picture of this is a match. The Old Testament says that our life is like a vapor. And so I'm going to compare our life to a match, okay? So just pretend this is your life. Your life's pretty short. It only burns for so long. I'm going to have to put this out so it doesn't burn me. Let's just say that's about 80 years. It's your life. You have a limited amount of time to burn and to shine light. And you can use your life for whatever light you want to shine, but it's limited and it's over very quickly. And in the scheme of eternity, it goes out very quickly. And you can burn for whatever light you want, but that's all you've got. And if you burn for your own glory and your own desires, when you're over, you'll have shed a little bit of light. Maybe you've been a great manager at a company, or maybe you've been an awesome guitar player, or maybe you know more about coffee than anybody. That's what I'm striving for. But when it's gone, it's gone. And that's all you've got, and it's burned out. And if you just use it for your own pursuits, wow, it was short, and when it's gone, no one remembers you. What if instead you take your life and you say, you know, I'm lit, I can shed glory, I have a voice. It might be the voice on an internet, it might be the voice at my work, it might be the voice where I work on cars, but I'm going to take my light, I'm going to join it to the light that's never going out, the light that's been burning for all eternity, the light that will always burn forever and ever and ever. And with the little time I've got and the little glory I've got, I want to help his glory be known. Because when my life's burned out, if I've helped that candle to shine, it's going to keep on burning. And so we have the ability to use our lives to forward the kingdom. We go out into this culture and we have the ability to use our lives to be ambassadors to the kingdom that matters. The only kingdom that will ever matter. How are you using your life? What glory are you trying to spread? How are you impacting the culture with the abilities God has given you? So we want to ask. So many times it's easy for us to get off track, isn't it? Every one of us. Even if we know that's what I'm supposed to be involved in, I get that. It's so easy for us to get off track. So easy for us to begin to live for another glory. Sometimes something will get the best of us. It may be some secret sin, I don't know. It may be your busyness. I feel like that's what it is for me lots of times now. I just get at the end of the day, and I've worked hard, and I've been trying to live for God out there, and I'm tired, and I don't spend time with God the way I need to. Could be a relationship, I don't know. You know what's going on with you. But I just want to ask, what's getting the best of you? What's prohibiting you personally from helping to live for the glory of the kingdom of God? It might be that you don't really know Jesus. You don't know the God we're talking about. You've heard about him. You've gone to church some before, but you've never in your life personally said, you know what? I want to be a Christ follower. I want to give Jesus my life. He can use it however he wants. And you might need to make that decision. Our staff will be up here after the service is over. If you want to come talk to us about what it means to be a Christ follower, to follow Christ with your life, you got to come talk to Chris or to me or to John or to Nathan or any of us. We'd love to tell you about that. But we just want to pose the question as we're ending today, what is getting the best of you? The band is about to come out here in a second and play a song by the Foo Fighters called Best of You. It's a rad song. And in that, I don't know what the lead singer, Dave, I don't know what he's talking about really in this song. I don't know what was getting the best of him. I don't know if it was a relationship or whatever. But we just want to kind of use this song as a way to kind of meditate on that thought and to ask ourselves, what might be prohibiting me for living for the true kingdom because there's a king coming back? What do I need to get right in my life? What do I need to confess to God or to talk to him about so that something stops getting the best of me and so that I start living for the true king and for the kingdom that's never going to fade away and that I help my life to burn for what is going to last and what truly matters? So as we sing this song, I just want you to kind of meditate on that thought. I want you to interact with God. If that means you need to stay sitting and pray, do that. If that means you want to stand up and look at the words and sing them, cool, do that. But let's use this as a time to interact with God. Let's pray together. Father, it is so easy to get caught worrying about our own agendas, living for things that do not truly matter. Father, I pray that we would not be people that continue to do that, but God, that in Pleasant View, Tennessee, in Ashland City, in Nashville, in Clarksville, in all the little places we come from, God, I pray that the best of us, but God, that we would continue to just pursue you with all our hearts. God, I pray that you've just been alive in this place today, and I just could pray that you would continue to just set us alive and to help us live immersed in the culture, but not becoming products of the culture. Father, we love you. We want to sing to you with all our hearts. You are amazing, Father. It's in your name we pray. Amen.